Tango Tango Papa 1783, October 20th, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, I think I'm going to pronounce this right, Mabane, North Carolina. So you're getting a podcast kind of rare these days, two nights in a row. I was at Dunn, North Carolina when I recorded the podcast last night, and today, you know, it was kind of, you know, I called the place and I found out indeed that the load, that other load that they had dispatched me on, they didn't have the product for it either. It was basically an identical load going to the same place in Pennsylvania, and they didn't have the product for it either. And so I I sent the message to the weekend dispatch, and they took, you know, they eventually took me off of the load, and then some time went past, and then I guess the shift changed, and they tried another set of people tried to put me on one of those same loads that they'd just taken me off of a couple of hours prior. And so I sent them a message back, and this was kind of getting later. It was, I don't know, it was probably 5 o'clock at this point this afternoon. Sent them a message back kind of explaining what had gone on since last night, and the guy came back and apologized and said, you know, whatever. So, you know, that the load planner did it, you know, and obviously I think the shift had changed is really what happened. But, you know, and they didn't bother sort of reading through the messages. So, in any case, then they finally sent this other load. It picked up at, where was it? Oh, shoot, the name of the town is eluding me. It was about 60 miles from where, from Dunn, driving to it. It was about 60 miles, wherever it was. And it was, it's a load that delivers to Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Yeah, it delivers there early Tuesday morning, Tuesday being the 22nd. So, I went ahead and went on over there. I wish I could remember the name of it, but the plant, I think I was there once at one other time. It's a turkey plant, and it's kind of out in the middle of, in a really rural, sort of a rural area, sort of out in the middle of a nowhere. It's not near any towns, but in any case, picked that load up, and then that turned out to be drop and hook. So I wasn't there too long, and so then I came on, started heading towards Ohio, and so there was a Petro truck stop here at Mabane, or I guess it's close to Mabane, North Carolina, at least that's what my phone says, and as far as when I look in the weather widget, and it's 44 degrees here, so and that's supposed to be the low overnight, so it is a little, you know, it's kind of cool. I stopped at this Petro, and then I've got I think around, give or take, 450 miles left to drive tomorrow being the 21st, Monday the 21st, to Washington Courthouse, and then Ohio, actually, and then the load delivers. It's scheduled to deliver at 6 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, the 22nd. So, have plenty of time to do that, so I went ahead and stopped at this Petro truck stop because I knew there would probably be plenty of parking, which there is. You get on further west, and that might not be the case. So, you know, was ready to stop and not in any hurry, which is kind of nice to be able to stop, you know, kind of when I want to, as opposed to sort of being kind of force-fed a schedule, because there's a lot of times where I'm really on a tight schedule and I really can't stop. You know, I don't really have very much choice when it comes to stopping. So, in any case, I stopped here and I decided to go ahead and record another podcast. For one thing, Joel sent kind of a comment already in response to the comment of his that I played to and responded in the podcast that I recorded last night. And I've also got a comment from another comment from Scott. And so I'm going to go ahead and play that as well. So before I do that, though, I was thinking today, you know, because in the last podcast I was talking about, you know, if you really know there's a creator, you know, it really sort of changes your entire outlook and how, and really it changes the actual way you react to the world. And so I was kind of thinking about that today, and I guess the thought, I was able to kind of think of it in more clear terms, you know, and it comes down to this: if you know there's a creator, then you have no anxiety about the future. You know, if you really know, if you really believe there's a creator, then that belief, that knowing, it's more than a belief, it's a knowing, takes anxiety, whatever anxiety you have about the future is gone. And, you know, if you have anxiety, it's because of the wrong side of your ego always has anxiety, because it has a pre-programmed death. You know, and I'm kind of using that term pre-programmed because that's what, you know, biologists are using that term. You know, they're talking about, well, cells, different kinds of biological cells have a pre-programmed death. The only exception to that is cancer cells. Cancer cells do not have a pre-programmed death. You know, even though typically, cancer cells devour, they sort of really mess up, devour, corrupt the sort of the host body that's feeding them, and they die anyway. You know, they do die because they actually kill the host. Whereas normal cells have a pre-programmed death. And so, you know, you extend that. The wrong side of our ego is pre-programmed to die. The wrong side of our ego cannot live forever, and it knows it. And, of course, that creates anxiety. And then you have, you know, beyond that, you've got anxiety about, you know, you have all these different goals and things threatening you and threatening your existence and so on and so forth and threatening your autonomy. And normally, you know, in the absence of a knowing that there's a creator, that all produces all sorts of anxiety. And people, you know, look around today, you know, look at the population of people that are on, they're on all kinds of different anxiety medications and so on and so forth, and they have a terrible time sleeping and all kinds of problems that all sort of go back to that anxiety, you know, sort of at the root of it. But if you really know, you know, and it's sort of a paradox, because if you really know there's a creator, then the anxiety about the future is gone, even though the problems are still there. And even though, you know, in a physical sense, our bodies are pre-programmed to die. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, it does kind of create a paradox. If you really know there's a creator, then the anxiety is taken away about the future. And so that sort of perhaps better, more completely expresses the thought that I was trying to get across. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and start by playing Joel's comment here. So we'll start off with Joel. So here is Joel.
Good morning, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. Just listened to your last show, and just wanted to make a couple comments. You know, I like the direction the show is going, for one, because, you know, putting your faith in these crazy politicians who are just basically ignoring, in some cases, their own beliefs just because it gives them political gain is probably the biggest problem with politics and putting your faith in the political realm of fixing your issues. But one of the things that you said kind of brought in something that kind of makes me think, and this is something that kind of all Christians get wrong, as well as non-Christians. Well, not all Christians, but a good chunk of them, anyway. And that's where, some people, it's probably more prevalent amongst non-Christians now that I think about it than it is with Christians, and I mean real Christians, is that you have to be a quote-unquote perfect person. And you said yourself, you're not a perfect person. And I've said myself many times, I'm not perfect either. Right. But something to think about, if you read the Bible and you realize what the Bible says about this situation is, okay, if we were all perfect, if we all were able to follow all the Ten Commandments and all the rules of the Old Testament, why would we need Jesus? Jesus is the reason why in him dying on the cross was the atonement for our sin, all of it. And a lot of Christians, does that mean you should just do whatever you want to do, and as long as you believe in Jesus, that you're going to be atoned and you're going to be saved? No, not at all. But it does mean that you need to forgive people, including yourself, and you need to just try to be the best person you can be moral, and follow, try to follow the rules of morality as well as you can, because just as a lie, you hear like some of the atheists that say, well, I put my faith in science. Well, science is a bad thing to put faith in, because if we put in our faith in science, think about this. We'd still believe that the world was flat, because the scientists of that time period thought that the world was flat. Galileo and other scientists proved that it was not. So, now some of the scientists will say, well, that's just because we didn't know, we didn't have enough knowledge to know about it. Well, that is certainly true. But how many things have they been telling us, that's bad for us, ends up being the exact thing that kills us? You think about the food pyramid. The food pyramid set up all wrong. I watched a and this is a good documentary that you probably should watch, called Fathead. It was in response to Morgan Spurlock's Super Size Me. And he basically challenged himself to lose weight by eating a fast food diet, but by using your brain. You know, for example, if they said, "Do you want fries with that?" and he didn't want fries or didn't, you know, have the calories to spare to eat the fries, he didn't eat the fries. Didn't order the fries. If they said supersize, "Would you like that supersize?" he said no. You know, and lo and behold, oh my gosh, he ate fast food and he lost weight. He takes that even further. He eats a high fat, high protein diet. A lot of people might call it a paleo or paleo, as in eating like a caveman, you know. And he lost even more weight. He told his doctor what he was eating. The doctor didn't believe him. He's like, "Well, keep on doing what you're doing because it's working for you." So now there's still some scientists, especially ones amongst the CSPI, that it would be the Center for Science and Public Interest, that will say that this guy is wrong. But you can't argue with the, with his tests. You can't argue with what Dr. Eads and trying to remember some of the other skeptics or doctors and stuff that he had in his documentary. There's lots of people in there. And Gary Tobbs also wrote a book about this kind of thing. And it basically throws the whole lipid, you know, with the cholesterol, with the hot, the good and the bad cholesterol. There's a theory on how to lower it on its ear. And it all goes down to, if you follow the food pyramid and eat like the food pyramid tells you to do, which is heavy grains, heavy bread, heavy everything, you're going to end up with, you know, if you have the propensity for diabetes, you will end up with it. So, anyway, sorry for a 6 minute long boxer, but here you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Joel. You know, the science, the problem, like I say, the problem with science is the scientists. Because, you know, they become, you know, like all people do, people become, human beings sort of become invested in various things. And that's especially true because we all, every single one of us has a wrong side of our ego. And that wrong side of our ego likes to, you know, it thinks, it wants to believe it's God. And so it devises little ways it thinks it, you know, and you know that it has power, and you know, and that's especially if you have power to sort of lord it over or bully someone else, or in the case of a scientist, you know, we're all told, oh, we have to look up to these people, they have all these letters kind of flowing after their name. The pedigrees around their neck, we have to look up where we have to look up to them, and so on and so forth, because they're smarter than we are, and so on, and so that goes to their head. It's the same difference as if someone, you've heard me talk before, someone, you get a new pair of shoes, and someone, "Oh, what nice shoes you have," and it just makes your day, and you're, you know, your head begins to expand like a balloon. You know, your ego becomes all sort of supercharged or supersized. it's the same difference. You know, if you, just imagine that you're, and to give them the benefit of the doubt, just imagine that you've gone to, let's say, medical school, for example. And you've gone to school for all these years, and now you're in your 30s, and you finally get that final thing, and you're a doctor, and all of a sudden, you know, there's such a build up to that, and doctors tend to be looked at as gods. I've described that before when I worked for the ophthalmologist and observing the patients in the office. imagine how that all of a sudden you've got this label put on you, and you know your head, you know, it would no longer fit in your hat. And that's dangerous stuff. But it can be so simple as, you know, a new shirt or a new pair of shoes or a new car, and it's like, you know, someone gives you a compliment and you're in trouble if you allow that to sort of boost the wrong side of your ego. It's like crack cocaine. And so you can just imagine why, you know, if you think about that, you can understand why it's so common for people in positions of power. You know, the scientists, they have this power over people because they're scientists or they're doctors or whatever. That the tendency is for that to go to their heads, and then they start sort of lording it over the other people. They got a position of power. That the wrong side of their ego has a position of power, any sort of thing that threatens to take that away, reality, becomes a threat. And so that's why it's so common for, you know, you look at the history of knowledge and, you know, knowledge about the world in particular, and science, so-called scientists of every age become really invested in whatever the prevailing thought is. And to express a different opinion is heresy. You know, and they'll ostracize you from their, you know, cut you off. How dare you think that way? It's like you get really heavily involved in a church, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to get out of it. And, you know, all the other people, you know, they'll start calling you. Well, why haven't you come to church? You know, that type of thing. And it's the same sort of thing. Same principles are involved. Doesn't matter, you know, one, you can say one is religion and another one something else, but it's all the same principle. So that's why you can understand the why of it. Why does this happen over and over again? Why did it happen with Galileo? And it's happened over and over and over again. The history of science is replete with examples of this. Or basically, you know, take the word science out of it, the history of knowledge, real knowledge about the world, is replete with it. Someone gets a better glimpse of what reality is really like, the real physical world or the real world is like, and the other people that have heavily invested their egos in the prevailing view, all of a sudden they all turn on him. And you can't do that. You're pulling the rug out from under us. So, what you have to do, you know, and conversely, that's why if you really begin to sort of question everything and you have your own BS detector, like I've said before, that you're going to rub people the wrong way. Some people are going to come along and try to attack you and say, well, how dare you think that way? You know, and they'll call you names and so on and so on, and you're not being scientific, and you, ooga booga and voodoo and so on and so forth. And let them do it. Who cares? You have to be, that puts you to the test. Actually, those people are actually quite useful because they put you to the test. How do you know what you know? Do you really know there's a God versus do you really believe there's a God? Do you really believe that there's a creator or not? Is, you know, it comes right down to that as the ultimate, that's sort of the ultimate test. And if you really do, then it doesn't matter what they call you. They can call you whatever. You don't really, You don't need their approval. You know, and they can take, in fact, it's good that they take their approval away, because then it, if you're standing on real, you know, it's kind of like you build your house on the rock and the people take their approval away, all of a sudden, you know, your house still stands. But if it's built on the shifting sands of approval of other people, then, you know, when the earthquake comes, too bad. You know, you get flattened with every other structure. That's you know, sort of, if you get the analogy, you know, sort of, if you're the structure of your, the wrong side of your ego, or your existence is dependent on people approving of you. So, anyway, interesting stuff. Thank you for the comment, Joel. And so I got a comment here from Scott. And so let's go ahead and listen to this. So here's Scott.
Tom, I got a quick comment here because I'm listening to you replying to a comment of mine about Dancing with the Stars as a TV show. And, you know, what we're playing here is a one-upmanship on what TV is better than other TV. Tom, I don't think we can really easily argue that either of us or anybody else has the upper hand on what the better TV is. You were saying, Dancing with the Stars, how does that make you a better person? And were I right there to answer, I'd probably, come back with, well, 24, how does that make you a better person?
Touche. It doesn't. And I'm no longer watching it. Obviously, it ended too, so. But that's true. It, you know, I guess, you know, some of these things are for entertainment. You know, and as I've said, there's three things, you know, there's three basic reasons, you know, like for a friendship, you know, if you have a friend, you're either going to, you have a friend because they're kind of entertaining, or you have a friend because they are informative, or you have a friend that helps you kind of edify your character. And that is the same thing applies to what you're going to consume, media that you would consume. You know, either it's going to be entertaining, which is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the concept of entertainment, as I've said many times. You know, it's going to be informative. You know, and there you know, plenty of movies and, you know, documentaries and TV shows that are informative. And then there's also media that can help you edify your character. So, you know, we'll put Dancing with the Stars and 24 both in the entertainment category, because there's nothing really profound about either one. So, touche. And at the same, you know, at the same time, you know, 24 and Dancing with the Stars, and let's see, what's the rage now? The thing with the duck people, what is it? Duck Dynasty. That's pure entertainment, and there's nothing really redeeming about that either. Which, you know, and I don't watch any of them now, so. The problem with anything, but it could be anything, you know, it could be your Bible, which, you know, your Bible's chock full of wisdom, but you can, and people do constantly use the Bible, they use use religion as a sort of way to distract themselves from reality, sort of distract themselves from the truth, and, you know, sort of wrap, you know, someone can wrap themselves in the Bible and the words about the truth, and the words about Jesus and what Jesus said and so on and so forth, and they're able to quote all these verses and chapters, and yet they're the biggest sinners of all. And you know, so you can make an entire ritual out of a toothpick, you know, something as simple as a toothpick, you can make an entire ritual out of it, and you know, as a sort of a means of making yourself feel better about your life. So I guess the point that I would make with any of these programs, you know, nothing wrong with entertainment, you know, with the concept, but the point that I would make is that if you look at what passes for entertainment today, on you know, especially popular entertainment, the vast majority of it is drivel. It really is, and that would include 24. Let's just include that too. That was kind of a really sort of a drivel program, and I, you know, a few years ago I went through this phase where I was really kind of watching all of the latest episodes, and it was interesting. I bought all of the prior DVDs, so I have the DVDs at home, and I watched the first few seasons. And then I sort of, you know, the show ended and I kind of lost interest in it. And I haven't, you know, really felt compelled to go back to it. And at this point, I probably won't. Touche. That's a very good point that you've made. And really doesn't. It's just for entertainment. But it, then again, you know, the point that I'd like to make is that people really get wound up. They really get wound up in plots and storylines and, and with these so-called reality shows like Dancing with the Stars or even the Duck Dynasty thing. People really, you know, that becomes their life, and they really become concerned about who's gonna win the popularity contest, basically. And I think it's just a sign of the deterioration. It's just a sign of the deterioration of the society in general. So. But that also applies to 24, you know, because that, if you really go back and you look, there was a so-called golden age of television back in, you know, very early history of television, maybe still, you know, very early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. They had some really good dramas and so on and so forth. You know, now, of course, I'm sure if you go back, if you could go back, there were also probably, you know, some things that were a complete waste, you know. And you know, there's always been shows that dealt in trivia, which I think is, you know, trivia is pretty useless, you know. And there are always shows that, you know, like Jeopardy, I think, is kind of a useless show. Because it's just, you know, who cares? You stuff your brain with all these facts and figures, you know, trivia about God knows what. Again, I'd ask the same question. How does that make you a better person? And the answer is it really doesn't. And but there is a need for entertainment. And as I say, entertainment... what one person finds entertaining is not necessarily the same thing that someone else is going to find entertaining. And it's, you can sort of look at it as, it's the sort of the video equivalent. If you're going to watch television, it's sort of a lot of it's sort of the video equivalent of tissue paper. It's just like disposable. You know, you use it, you know, maybe to wipe up a mess or to blow your nose or wipe your mouth or whatever and throw it away. I'm not saying that's bad, but it can be. So anyway, let's go ahead and listen to the rest of Scott's comment. So good point.
Or, I don't know, some of the other shows that you may have gotten into, that one about alien technology that you followed all the way to the end. Also a fictional show, there's a current one on that I know you probably like, Homeland or something like that. I think you're following Homeland. Maybe it's not you.
No, I've seen that advertised. I've heard people talk about it. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I don't know. I haven't gotten into that. I don't know what it's about. And if it's about, if it's science fiction, I might be interested. But if it's just, you know, the name sort of put me off because it kind of, you know, I know nothing about the TV show Homeland. I mean, zero. The name makes me think it's about Homeland Security, I kind of lost interest. I've really lost interest in that kind of topic, but if it's about aliens and science fiction, I might be interested. I need to look at and see what. I'm sure there's a Wikipedia thing about it that explains all about it, I was just sort of put off by the name.
But shows like that, what the heck does that do you if any good? You know, I can't see any big point in these, you know, they're all they're fiction completely. They're more fiction than Ice Road Truckers is. Even if you can say that Ice Road Truckers fictionalizes the people that they, you know, supposedly a reality, I could agree, but how's that any different than any of these other fictional shows like 24? It's pure entertainment, and how does any one person get to say my entertainment is more sniffity sniff better than yours? I don't think you can say that. And so when you spit it out, oh, those people watching Oprah or watching whatever, you know, as if they're just the most disgusting people. Well, you know, maybe you should just say watching television all the time. But I think that's what you really mean, is that they haven't got any time to do anything constructive with their life. They sit in front of the TV all the time. And that's all they've got with their life. You know, there's nothing better for them to do. And I think I could kind of agree, there's way too many people like that that watch way too much television because they haven't got a purpose in life. They're that mindless. That didn't seem to be the point you were making. Maybe it's the point you should make. Talk to you later.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott. Yeah, there are a lot of people that's all they really have to do. And it's, you know, for various reasons. And some of those reasons, a lot of those reasons, are out of their control. But that's all they have to do is just, for various reasons, sit around and watch television. And, I don't know. I can't do that. I'll watch a certain amount. Especially if it's, you know, like what I'm doing now, it's all pretty much completely on demand. And, you know, I'll watch a certain amount of it and then off it goes. And, you know, I spend a certain amount of time reading. I spend a certain amount, you know, sometimes I listen to music while I'm driving. A lot of the time I'm listening to podcasts, and there's times when I don't have anything turned on, you know, like particularly when I'm driving, or I'll listen to audiobooks or whatever. But when I'm sitting still, sometimes, like last night, I watched, when I was waiting for the load to, you know, them to come up with a load. Netflix has added a bunch of new documentaries, by the way, and it was a Discovery Channel show, and it was called Catch Me If You Can, and I think it's a one-off documentary, and I think it's probably pretty recent, sort of in response to this what's the guy's name? Edward Snowden. You know, all the NSA leaks. Leaked all that information about the NSA spying on, you know, on the not only the American public, but they're spying on the world, essentially. And I think it was sort of in response to that. And it's the premise of it is that, you know, what would it take for you to really just disappear? You know, and so the guy kind of goes through what you would, you know, over a period of a few days, what you'd have to do in order to sort of get off, you know, leave, just disappear from your life and go elsewhere and take on a new life. And it's nothing profound. It has some interesting information in it. For one thing, I did not know that many tires today have embedded RFID chips. Did you know that? Now, I'm assuming that it's probably the more expensive tires. There are many vehicles today that come with proprietary tires that are proprietary to the vehicle, and they're very expensive. And those kind of tires are going to be tied. They're going to, especially when they come from the manufacturer of the car. They are going to probably have RFID chips, and those RFID chips are going to be tied to the vehicle identification number. And I suspect that, of course, car manufacturers have been they've had, for a number of years, they've been trying to make it more and more difficult for thieves to kind of steal a car and then sell it off for parts. They've been trying to put the identification number on as many parts as they possibly can, and that would include the tires, especially if they're very expensive tires. But so that was some information that I learned. I did not know that. And a lot of this show, it was an hour-long show, and it was just sort of entertaining. So there is, and it was kind of informative. So there, the three things: entertainment, information, edification. And or a mix, a good TV show or a movie sort of mixes all three of those elements in there, and then you get a really good thing, and I'll give the example of Star Wars, because it mixes all three elements in there. If you really think about it, Star Wars, well, information, maybe not so much. It's got the two. It's got entertainment. It's got lots of entertainment, and maybe not so much information. It's not so informative, but it, there is an edifying part of it, because it's got the story between good and evil that's embedded in it. Star Trek, on the other hand, you'd think, well, it's entertaining, certainly, and it's got the thing with the good and evil. It's kind of a morality play, especially the original series. Those were sort of morality plays. And so that it's got that, the edification part covered. And then you think, well, what about information? Well, I don't know. It turns out that at the time you'd think, well, there's not much information here, but Star Trek in particular, I guess Gene Roddenberry and the writers sort of predicted a lot of they were saying, well, they have, like these different things, they had their communicators and in the original Star Trek series, they had communicators, and they had, almost like the equivalent of video conferencing and so on and so forth. And it's very interesting. We have all those things now. They're in a little bit different form, but we're walking around with our cell phones, and that's basically sort of a kind of like a communicator in a sense. We certainly have the video conferencing thing. That's pretty common anymore, for anyone to be able to carry on a conversation, via video. So it's, so that you could say that maybe he was predicting some things, but you get the gist of it. Something can just be purely entertaining. When I was home the other day, I watched, I think I might have mentioned it, I went and watched, had the opportunity to watch the movie Gravity. And if you haven't seen that, I ended up, because of the timing, I ended up watching the 3D version. And the 3D version, it wasn't that bad, it You know, because normally I, what was it, that other movie that I, the last movie I watched before that, Avatar, that was 3D, that was over the top. I was really, after 3 hours of Avatar, I was, I had 3D fatigue. but this Gravity, actually in 3D, the 3D wasn't quite as... It was more subtle, maybe, you know, and it was more like, it was closer to real world depth perception than, although none of these 3D effects that they have in movies, is like real world depth perception, because, you know, in the real world you have depth perception, and it seems to me that somehow the 3D film process or the 3D recording and playback process really overemphasizes that. And then you get these things that are just really sticking out at you. And I don't know what the... it's sort of like someone cussing into a microphone. You know, because you hear someone cuss in real life and, you know, and it sounds a certain way, you know, and you can... You know, but then when you hear someone cuss into a microphone, it's like they're... It's almost like over the top why they're doing that deliberately, you know. So, anyway, you know, but I went and saw that, and that's just complete pure entertainment. There's, you know, it was very well done. It's kind of an interesting little drama and so on and so forth. And I, you know, and if you like, you know, those kind of movies, I recommend, that's one that I do recommend, and I would even say that if you sort of like 3D, maybe you see it in the 3D version. But, you know, but it's nothing profound about it. So, but, you know, it's, we've got... Some things lend themselves more to drivel than other things do. And, you know, beauty is often in the eye of the beholder as well. So, but good point. Those shows... the shows that are on television are really, the vast majority of them are kind of, you know, they're just kind of filling people's time. And there are an awful lot of people that's all they have to do. It's just, if it weren't for the television, they would just, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of people that really depend on it because that's all... they have to do with their time for various reasons. And you know, to be perfectly honest, a lot of times that's out of their control. So, but I don't know. I can't really fill my time with too much of it. I can go for a certain amount, and especially the best thing is if it's on demand, because if it's on demand, then you know you're assured that you're going to get something out of it. But if you have to watch on, particularly if you're watching on someone else's schedule, that's the worst type of media consumption of all, really. So anyway, think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close, get it uploaded, get headed to bed. Hope everyone has had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.